Now, we're going to try and think this morning about the whole of the Easter story to some extent. So we're going to begin, because that story begins with Jesus' death, and we're just going to remain seated, and we're going to sing this song which encourages us to think particularly about the cross of Jesus in the first place. When I think about the cross, we'll just remain seated, sing this through a couple of times. Well, this morning we are going to think about the cross, and then we're going to think about Jesus' resurrection, his rising from the dead. And we're going to do that, using this board here. We've got, maybe I should ask you, boys and girls, why do we have eggs at Easter? Why do we have eggs at Easter? Yeah. He died, and then do you know what the eggs particularly think about? Yes. That's it. It's especially the stone. The egg reminds us particularly of the stone that was rolled away that showed that Jesus' tomb was empty and that he was alive. That's right. So we've got here 8 eggs here. Can you see them? Numbered 1 to 8. And each of these eggs represents a different color. And that's what we're thinking about this morning, the colors of Easter. And each of these different colors behind these eggs will just relate to or tell us something or remind us of something in that Easter story. And boys and girls, I'm going to get you to help me not only to do that, but also in a little minute, too, you're going to get one of these. And there's a folder here. You're also going to get a clipboard there. And you're going to get 8 eggs here. And you're going to get stickers of the colors of the different eggs. And during the service, I hope, or maybe afterwards, but perhaps I hope some of you will do it during. It's not difficult to do. You'll put in the colors for each of the different eggs, and it will just remind you of something of the Easter story and what it's all about and why it's important for us. So that's what we're going to be thinking about, the colors of Easter. Okay, so to begin with, we're going to read different things, parts of the story, and I want you to listen. Morven's going to come up, and she's going to read for us. This is part of the story. This is just before Jesus died, This is after he's been arrested, he's been put on trial, and the authorities, the Jewish authorities, the Roman authorities have decided they're going to crucify him. They're going to put him on the cross. But before that, he finds himself in the hands of the Roman soldiers. And you're going to hear, I want you to listen to the reading. You're going to hear mention of at least one color. And there's another color. It's not actually mentioned, but there's another color that's going to remind us of something that's mentioned in this part of the story. Okay, so, Morven, where are you? You're going to read this. This is from Mark 15. Okay, let's listen together.
Mark chapter 15, verses 16 to 20. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the Praetorium, and called together... The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the Praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him in the head with a staff and spat on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put on his own clothes. Then they led him to crucify him.
Thank you, Morven. Did anybody hear a color in there? I wonder, who would like then, well, let's see. Who heard a color? Archie, you had a color? Okay. Do you want to come out and check this first egg and turn it round and see what color is on it? Yeah. Do you want to turn it this way now with the color, okay? Good. So that's our first color. What was purple in the story? What was purple? Did anybody hear what was purple, Jamie? The robe, that's right. We got it there, that's right. Here's the egg, and here's the purple robe. Well, purple is an interesting color in Jesus' day because it was a color that was only really ever used for royalty or rich people. And so when the Roman soldiers put the purple robe on Jesus, they were really making fun of him. When they knelt before him and hailed him King of the Jews, they were really mocking him. They were making fun of him. But what they didn't know was actually they were stating something true about him. He was the king. Not just the king of the Jews. Actually, he was these Roman soldiers' king. He's the king of the world. God would demonstrate that very soon, that he was the true king. And so this is one of the colors of Easter. That purple robe reminds us that Jesus is king. Okay, but there's another color in this story. It's not mentioned there, but something is mentioned that is this color. Anybody want to come out and try egg two? Who wants to turn egg two? Come on then, Archie. That's fine. That's a stiff one. Yeah, you're right. It's a stiff one. Right, turn that round. Okay. What color is that?
Brown.
Okay, Archie, you can sit down. So what in that part of the story might have been brown? What might be brown? There's not a crown in the story at this point, no, but it would have been, it might have been brown. Naomi? There was a crown, wasn't there? There was a crown, we're talking now. So that's the purple robe. But here's the brown, and it, there was a crown of thorns, wasn't it? They placed a crown of thorns on Jesus' head, and it would have been brown. And that crown of thorns, that well. Again, the soldiers put it there because they were mocking, they were making fun of Jesus. But interestingly, I think, if you go right back to the beginning of the Bible, when Adam and Eve in Genesis 3, when they turned aside from God, when they decided they knew better than God, when sin entered the world, God said something to Adam about what would happen as a result of his sin. He said this. Can I just read this to you? Oh, lost my place for a minute. He said, "Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you." And what God was saying there was thorns were a sign of the curse, the consequences of human sin. And so when Jesus was, when the Roman soldiers put a crown of thorns on Jesus' head, it was a reminder that as our King, he was coming in his death to bear that curse for us. He was coming to take something of the consequences of human sin upon himself. So the brown reminds us of the crown of thorns. Now, Krista's going to come and read the next part of the story. You'll not hear mention of any specific colors here, but there are two colors behind these next two eggs that I think relate to things that happened here. I want you to think, boys and girls, think about the time of day that this happens. This is when Jesus is now on the cross. Think of what Mark says about the time of day. Okay, Krista.
Mark chapter 15, verse 33.
Wait a minute, Krista,
Mark chapter 15, verse 33 to 37. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last.
Thank you, Krista. Thank you. Okay, anybody want to come up and reveal the last? Yep. Come on, Evie. Yep. Number three. What color's that? Black. Black, thank you. Do you want to come down? Okay, y'all. You've maybe filled in the blue. Sorry, not the blue, the purple. And the brown, but this one's black. Yeah, black. I wonder what black might represent. There's no mention of black there, but, well, anybody think? What might black represent? What do you think? There was darkness, wasn't there, Jamie? There was darkness. And it was unusual darkness. Doesn't really tell us exactly, but the sixth hour, that was really the middle of the day. So the sun should have been at its brightest, and the day should have been at its lightest. But it was dark. Darkness covered the land. It was an unusual darkness. Everybody would have thought, why is it suddenly gone dark? And the darkness was meant to say something. And that's why we've put black as a color of Easter, because it says something about what was going on in Jesus' death, what he was dying for, and it says something about that darkness. The Bible tells us that Jesus died for our sins, which are black, really. And black's the best color to represent our sins. And that darkness that came over the land, that was a reminder that God is angry about our sins and our rebellion. Darkness was a symbol of that. Black is a symbol of that. But was God angry with Jesus? Jesus had done nothing wrong. He was guilty of no sin. So why would there be darkness? Why would the world, as it were, have gone black at that point? The Bible would have said, in fact, Jesus had told his disciples beforehand that he was going to die for their sins, our blackness. And that's why there was darkness. That's what the black reminds us of, our sin, God's judgment upon it, but Jesus then taking that for us. And that really leads us into our fourth color. Anybody want to come up and turn number four? Yes. Which is?
Red.
That's right. Okay, thank you. Okay, red. So, what might red stand for? There's no mention of it here in the story, but it would have been there. If you had looked at Jesus hanging on the cross, what would you have seen, Fraser? You would. There would have been blood. The Bible doesn't talk much about it, actually, about the blood, but there would have been a lot of it, sadly. Crucifixion meant putting nails here and here and in the knees and down below too, and so there would have been blood. And the Bible talks about Jesus' blood. It usually uses it in a kind of technical term as it really, when it talks about the blood of Jesus, it really means Jesus' life poured out in sacrifice. A life poured out in sacrifice is what blood usually means in the Bible. When it talks about the blood of Jesus, it's talking about Jesus' life being poured out as a sacrifice for our sin, to bear that judgment. And so the red represents the blood. And one of the things that the Bible says about Jesus' blood, what he did on the cross, the blood of Jesus purifies us or cleanses us from all our sin. That's why the blood is important. That's why the Bible speaks about Jesus' death, because what he did there cleanses, restores. Without the shedding of the blood, says Hebrews at one occasion, there is no forgiveness. But with that, the shedding of his blood, for our sakes, for our sins, there can be. And so these are four colors, in a sense, these are our four colors of the cross. We're going to think of four colors of the resurrection. Now, so those are the four colors of the cross. And I mean, it is true, it's very difficult for us to grasp this, I think, but as far as everybody else was concerned, when Jesus died, that was it. That was the end of the story. His disciples had scattered, everyone had gone home. That was Friday, Saturday. There's silence. Jesus is in the tomb. Everybody thinks, well, that's it. But then we read this, and Charlie's going to read what happened on that first Easter Sunday morning.
Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 9. The resurrection. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. Amen.
Thank you, Charlie. Now, there's so much more that the New Testament has to say about that, about Jesus' resurrection. There's a lot more in the Gospels too. But I want us to think particularly about these colours that come now, these next colours. And so there's no mention of colours in the resurrection story, but these different colours, I think, represent aspects of the significance of the resurrection story. So who wants to come and turn number 5? Who's not been out? Anybody? Yeah, we'll take some. Yes, we'll take. Yep. That's great. Out you come. Do you want to do number 5? Great. Whoa. So what? No, wait. What color is that?
White.
Good, white. Yep, that's great. You can sit down. Thank you. White. What might white represent or symbolize in the story? Is there anything white in that story? What do you think, Joshua? The what? The cloths. They might have been white, mightn't they? They might have had a little blood on them too. I don't know. But that's right, they might have been. Anything else, Jamie? I wondered about if somebody might say that. The angels would probably, yeah, certainly they were bright, weren't they? But I think, no. Oh, where are we? Yes. The light. Yes. Well, we'll come to light actually in a minute. But I want us to think about white representing something about Jesus and something about those who came to trust in Jesus as risen. Representing Jesus, white, well, what does white mean? White means clean. It means clean. It represents clean. And it was saying something. You've got to remember that the Jews and the Romans, they put Jesus to death believing him to be a fake, believing him to be a liar, believing him to be a blasphemer. But God raised him from the dead to demonstrate that he was exactly who he had claimed to be. Paul says God declared Jesus to be his son by the resurrection of the dead. He was declaring Jesus to be exactly what he was, the sinless Son of God. And the resurrection proclaimed that. But wonderfully, too, because Jesus had died and died as we saw with these different colors, died for our sins, the Bible also proclaims that those who trust him can be clean. There's a wonderful prayer in the Old Testament where David, who knows he's guilty of having done serious wrong against God and against others, he says to God, "Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. If you wash me, I will be whiter than snow," he says. And that's exactly what God has done for all who trust Jesus. He has made us whiter than snow. God can treat us now, because of Jesus and what he has done, as if we were clean. We're clean in his sight, not because of anything in us, but because of what he has done for us. And that's really what our banner talks about. He was delivered over to death for our sins. He was raised to life for our justification, to demonstrate that now in Jesus, we're clean. Again, not because of us, but because of what he has done. So the white of the resurrection is important. But there's other colors here too. Anyone want to come and try number 6 here? Harper, do you want to come and try number 6? Good girl. What's that? Yellow. That's right. Yellow. Okay, there's our yellow color. Wonder what yellow could stand for. What did we have? What could yellow stand for? What you said the last time. Light. 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 There's a lovely statement by Paul in the book of Acts when he stands before a Jewish crowd and he says that Jesus is the Christ, the first to be risen from the dead, that he might proclaim light to your people and to the Gentiles. Jesus is risen to proclaim light, the light of God's love and forgiveness in him, the light of hope replacing the darkness of despair and guilt. This is the wonderful thing about the resurrection. All the darkness of the cross, it's gone. And Jesus is risen to bring life and immortality to light, says Paul. So this is light. This is bright light. This is a message of light. Jesus has come to call, says Peter, out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And the yellow speaks of light. We're almost there. Number seven. Who would like to come and try number seven? Who's not been out yet? Yes, come on in, Chloe. Here's another bright color. What's that? Orange, that's right. Orange. Wonder what orange might represent. Something to do with the resurrection. Orange. Well, this is just, again, just because it's bright. Where are we? Orange here. It says if we had read Matthew's account of the story, Matthew would have said this: the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, fearful, yet filled with joy. Filled with joy, and ran to tell Jesus' disciples. Joy. It's interesting. Again, if you read the rest of the story, and I would encourage you to do it, you'll see that the fear that is mentioned, that fear fades, but the joy as the disciples, whether it's the women or whether it's Peter and the others, as they realize, when they realize that Jesus is truly alive, when he appears to them, convinces them, demonstrates clearly to them that it is him and he is alive, the joy just increases and increases. And in fact, the end of Luke's gospel has the disciples, again, as Jesus returns to heaven, filled with joy and praising God in the temple of Jerusalem. And that joy continues so much so that when in the book of Acts, the apostles speak of Jesus risen to the Jews and are persecuted for it, beaten for it, Luke tells us they rejoiced, which is not your usual reaction when somebody's just beaten you up. They rejoiced to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. They had a joy that nothing could touch. Persecution couldn't touch it. Death couldn't touch it. Even their own sins and failings couldn't touch it, because they knew that Jesus, by his death and resurrection, had conquered all these things. And these things, although they hadn't disappeared, they had been defeated. And so there was an indestructible joy. And the orange reminds us of that. Last one. Who wants to come? Number eight. Yep, great. Green. Yeah, green. Green for, could be anything, couldn't it? Not envy, anyway. Say that again. Goodness. That's a green could be for goodness, but what happens when your grass turns green? What happens in springtime? What's green a sign of? Yeah, that's right. Life, Jamie. Life. Life. New life. There's a wonderful bit right at the start of Peter's letter where he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because in his great mercy he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you." That's a wonderful thing. That's what Jesus' resurrection is about. It's not just about him. It is about him, of course it is. He's the source of it, but it's about the life that he gives and shares with all who will trust him. And it is a new life. It's a life with God. It's a life that begins now, but reaches its completion and its consummation in the world to come. It's about new life. Because he lives, Jesus said this to his disciples at one point, because I live, you also shall live. And that's what's on offer to us every Easter, every day actually, through the risen Christ, new life. And when Jesus came, remember him coming to his disciples on that first Easter Sunday evening, Thomas doubting him, questioning him, showing them his hands, showing them his feet, showing them that it was him, saying to them peace and bringing to them life, a new life, a life that they lived out, a life in which they were not afraid to face death. Most of them did die, the first apostles, but knowing that Jesus was alive, knowing that the life that they had with them could never be taken from them, they lived that life. And that again is what's offered to us this morning. So all these colors are the colors of Easter. There we are. There's our eight colors. Eight colors there, eight colors there. Eight colors on your, yeah, have you managed to do them? Well done, good. Well, I hope you'll remember. So you'll just tell me now what all these different colors represent. Is that right? You'll remind me. What was that one? Purple was? Anybody remember what the purple was? Yes. That's right. That's right. And the robe stood reminds us that Jesus is the King. Is that right? He is the King. Right. That's right. Oh, brown reminds us what? Crown of thorns, that's right. That Jesus, when he died, was taking something of the curse that should have flown to us so that we could be blessed. Right, crown of thorns, black, Archie? The darkness and our sin as well, God's judgment on it. But just remind us, Jesus was not dying because of anything that he had done, but because of what we had done. And then the red, Jamie? That's right, the blood which, remember Jesus' blood, which just really talks about his death. It was poured out as a sacrifice for our sins so that we could be cleansed. And that's really what the white one, remember the white one? Clean, that's right. To show that Jesus was sinless, but also because he's taken our sin, we too can be clean in God's sight. And then the yellow, what was the yellow?
Light.
That's right, light. That's right, light. And then the orange?
Joy.
That's right, joy. And lastly, the green. Yes. New life in Jesus. Jesus gives new life. Oh well, let's just think about all of that as we pray together and as we draw our service to a conclusion. Lord God, there's much to think about this morning. As we do so, we thank you that you have given us cause to celebrate. We thank you that both Jesus' death and his resurrection are good news. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were willing to stand where we should have stood and to take what should have come to us because of our wrongdoing and rebellion. We thank you for your death, which does you as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We pray that we may trust ourselves and our sins and wrongdoings to you this morning. And that knowing too that the Father has accepted that sacrifice, that we would know that we are, because of you and trusting you, we are clean in God's sight, not because of anything in us, but only because of what he has been done for us. So help us to trust you for that, and help us then to know the joy, the peace, the hope, the life that you give today, and to live that out. And Lord, as we remember that, we pray too for those for whom these are difficult days because they've lost somebody precious to them. We do remember again before you in your compassion the families of Roy Harvey and of Aileen Liggertwood and others too who find themselves mourning and sad at this time. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you may come to them in your compassion, in your power, and bring them hope, bring them help, bring them healing. And we would ask that for ourselves, Lord. You will know the burdens that we have carried into this place today. We pray that you would help us to cast them upon you and go with us from this place and help us again to think about what we've heard and to remember that you are the one who has promised to all who trust him, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Hear us then, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.